and welcome to the AAMFT podcast, your all-access pass to the latest news, developments, and thought leaders in the world of systemic therapy. We strive to relate, educate, and innovate one episode at a time. I'm your host, Dr. Eli Karam, and we're brought to you by the American Association for Marriage and Family Therapy. Our podcast explores topics that relationship-based therapists care about. In addition to featuring unique conversations and interviews with established experts, our show provides information and education on direct practice and emerging trends in the MFT profession. For more information, please visit us at aamft.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. License portability is the ability to take an individual's qualifications for a license in one state and apply them for licensure in another state. For LMFTs, the process of license portability historically has been disjointed across states, largely due to a popular policy of only approving applicants that prove their qualifications are substantially equivalent to the requirements of the state they're applying to. In theory, substantially equivalent sounds logical, but in practice, has shown that this policy creates additional barriers for LMFTs, even those that may have been licensed for years in another state. There are many cases where subjectivity in applying the substantially equivalent policy has resulted in LMFTs having to take the same classes over again, complete additional hours of supervision, and more. AAMFT has developed a model of MFT license portability in order to promote more objectivity in assessing qualifications as well as a standardization between states in this increasingly mobile society that we live and work in. So today is one of those podcasts that is very important. While we're not talking about a clinical topic or interviewing a mover and shaker or guru of systemic therapy, what we are talking about is something that will affect pretty much each and every one of our listeners moving forward and the profession as a whole. And we're going to talk today to AAMFT's own Roger Smith. Let me tell you a little bit about Roger. He joined AAMFT in 2005. He currently serves as a chief legal counsel for AAMFT and supervises its ethical code compliance and legal risk management programs. Roger serves as AAMFT's representative to the Alliance of Military and Veteran Family Behavioral Health Providers and to the American Red Cross Disaster Mental Health Partners Group. Roger received his bachelor's degree at Purdue University, earned his law degree from IU, that's Indiana University School of Law in Indianapolis. And prior to joining AAMFT, Roger served as Deputy Attorney General in the Office of the Indiana Attorney General. We will be back after our interview with Roger. John and Julie Gottman are back with an update to their classic, The Marriage Clinic. The new Marriage Clinic incorporates over 50 years of experience from the Gottman Institute, with proven methods drawn from therapeutic research-based interventions, couple workshops, and clinical training workshops. The Gottmans include new material on dynamics around same-sex couples, couples recovering from domestic violence, couples dealing with the outcome of affairs, and so much more. Use code MARRIAGE at www.norton.com/marriageclinic for 20% off and free shipping on this book. Again, that's code MARRIAGE at www.norton.com/marriageclinic. This offer is valid through September 1st for all U.S.-based customers. Roger Smith, welcome to the AAMFT podcast. This is a topic that is going to impact really every MFT potentially, especially LMFTs, and it's rare that we have a non-clinician on the show. You have been with AMFT almost 20 years now, since 2005, and I've known you probably for about 15. You are the man behind the scenes who knows everything about portability. So the first question, Roger, is first, let's define portability, and then why is it so important for MFTs?
Thank you very much, Eli, and happy to be here participating in this podcast with you. In terms of portability itself, really that means, as it says, portability has the word portable in it, derives from the word portable. So it's really how easily are you able to take your license in one state to another state. Not physically take it, but able to practice in other states and be mobile or portable with that. And so portability includes a wide variety of types of laws and things in terms of having a law in a state that allows you to easily become licensed in that state. If you're from a license in another state, how easy it is to become licensed, or a provision allowing you. It can include things such as licensure compacts, and I'm sure we'll be talking about, which are agreements that allow people to practice in other states. It can include telehealth-only portability provisions that apply only in the telehealth arena or only to certain populations like college students or temporary practice. So it encompasses a wide variety of types of laws, all having the same purpose in terms of allowing people and improving the mobility of MFTs and other professionals to practice across state lines.
Why do you think now more than ever, Roger, this is a hot topic, and why is it so important to MFTs and specifically our members of the AAMFT?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, like you said earlier, Eli, I've been almost 20 years, hard to believe now, with AMFT, and it's always been an issue in state advocacy, but it has really become more prominent in recent years, especially since the pandemic. Portability is important for MFTs for a variety of reasons. We have a more mobile society. MFTs like to move, need to move. Sometimes they need to for jobs or for a transition by a significant other or to care for individuals, or they want to practice in different areas. So having that ability to move across state lines and become licensed easily in the state you're moving to is very important. It's also important for clients of therapists. Clients move across state lines either permanently to a new home or for a period of time to go to college or for the summer or winter in Florida, things like that. And they need to continue to receive services without disruption of care. And we all know that disruption of care, transitioning to other providers, can impact clients, and they can lose ground in their treatment, and that occurs. This also helps clients and the overall American population because it helps alleviate shortages of behavioral health providers. And allowing providers to practice in more than one state can help alleviate shortages in those states. It's also internally for the MFT profession, it's also important for the profession to be welcoming to new MFTs and to the profession itself by having pro-portability provisions in state law and having ease of portability. The other healthcare professions are doing the same thing. So it's something that MFTs and AMFT is certainly striving to do, to have portability that has the same goal as portability provisions that some of the other professions are pursuing.
The more that we can have parity with these other mental health professions that have already moved into this portability realm, the more MFT becomes an attractive profession for people exploring becoming a skilled helper, a mental health professional. So I couldn't agree with you more. Those are all great reasons why anyone listening to this show or practicing systemic therapy should be interested in this. What do you think are the most common misperceptions about portability?
Yeah, that's a good question. There usually are a few misperceptions about portability that either staff has heard, AMFT staff has heard throughout, or that we've heard about from others. One is that portability equals a national license. There's no national licensure or United States license for marriage and family therapists or for any other healthcare profession. The federal government does not license. Traditionally, state licensure is a state prerogative and something that the states do. This goes back to the 19th century when physicians were licensed. And that's not going to change anytime in the near future, or maybe certainly not on the horizon to go that route. Having portability does not equal a de facto national license. And also, having one license merely because you're licensed in one state does not allow you to practice in every state. Some people feel that, especially through telehealth, that I have a license and my clients can go anywhere in the country or the world for that matter, and I can call and have therapy with them. But that doesn't mean that there are laws each state and even outside the United States, each country has their own barriers and rules regarding providing therapy to clients, people who reside in that state or that jurisdiction. Also, another common misperception is maybe changing portability laws is easy, or there's no reason not to, or no barriers, and that's not correct in the sense that we do have to change portability in each state, and each state has to adopt either a pro-portability law or policy allowing it. Also, some may think there are little or no costs to providers and associations, or paperwork involved in applying for licensure in other states, or the permission to practice in other states, and there actually are costs. There are costs in becoming licensed in each state, so you have to pay a fee. And even with licensure compacts, there are fees to join the compacts and also fees that associations have to incur in setting up and maintaining compacts. And there are fees that AMFT has had to pay and to pay for lobbyists to legislation through that will allow portability, pro-portability laws in states. And maybe another or final misconception, I think there are others besides this, is that having years of experience or having substantially equivalent requirements is necessary in a portability law to protect the public. And this is incorrect. There's not been any study showing that having 5 or 10 years of practice makes you a better therapist and better protect the public than someone with 6 months, a year, or 2 years of experience. And any sort of standards that are, you have to come from a state with requirements substantially similar to the state you're coming into's requirements. Again, it's very nebulous to apply to an applicant. And also, it's something where we found that it does not in any way protect the public from harm having those types of provisions. And again, those are some of the major misconceptions about portability.
I guess in understanding this, I'm curious what have been the barriers to licensure portability, certainly for MFTs, but in just the mental health professions in general, what has taken so long?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there has been a change, a sea change over the last several years. But historically, there have been several barriers that have prevented having more proactive portability in all fields, but I'll focus on the MFT profession. One is something I just mentioned a minute ago. It's the traditional model of portability in a state would say, you can be licensed in my state if your state's requirements are substantially equivalent to our state's requirements. So it's worded a little differently in each state, but that's really the gist of it. And sometimes it even says you have to have substantially equivalent requirements at the time you were licensed. Even if it was 30 years ago, it'd have to be the same standards as in that state today. And this sounds good on paper at first blush, but enforcing it is very difficult because you can have 8 members of a licensure board and they could look at that language and have 8 different views of it. And a state licensure board has to have consistency and some objectivity when it enforces and applies each applicant so you don't run into anything arbitrary among the applicants. So I think it's a little harder to enforce. It also ends up being a very high barrier keeping people out because typically they view and interpret the standards rather strictly. So it has kept a lot of people out traditionally. And some states where you're coming in to add things or require things that really aren't needed. In fact, they're not needed at all to protect the public from harm and certainly do nothing to alleviate behavioral health shortages in the state they're trying to come into. Some of the other barriers, one I think is within the profession, I think every profession has this, is you hear this all the time, the acronym NIMBYism, not in my backyard. So I think some might say we don't really want too many out-of-state MFTs coming in, or what will that do to the market? It'll take away my business, or maybe their perception that they have a lower quality. And again, you know, we want to improve portability. There's universal behavioral health shortages. So we have MFT. Certainly today's world tend to be too busy, not in the lack of business. So that really is a barrier that we've seen go away over time, where there's very little concern anymore, at least reported to AMFT staff, that they're worried about, oh, we don't want too many people in our state who are serving as MFTs. All in the past, the MFTs started becoming licensed back in California in 1963, and the last two states were licensed in 2009. And early on, there were a little bit more dissimilarity among the licensure standards in the profession. And over time, they become a little more harmonized. They're not exactly equal, but they're not exactly equal with any healthcare profession. But they are very similar across state lines now. And I think that has helped alleviate some of the questions on why we should have portability when you have standards that are very similar across professions. All states, for instance, require that you have to have at least a master's degree in marriage and family therapy related profession. That's been a requirement since licensure was enacted. But you have to, supervised experience requirements have become more standard over time, and some of the other requirements are more similar, particularly in terms of education requirements and other things. So it makes it a little more acceptable to have a more portability standard, so you can have some guarantee that they have a similar requirements to your state anyway. Also, another major change, and this has occurred throughout healthcare, is in the past, when we used to, AMFT staff 10 years ago would lobby for a bill before then, the states would want higher standards. If you wanted a portability law with 2 years of experience, they would say, why not 4 or 5? They wanted to keep the wall high to keep out folks because of alleged reasons and want to protect the public from harm, which is a good reason. But again, we found these portability barriers have not done anything to protect the public from harm. But now they have realized, and they have seen the massive behavioral health shortages and the opioid epidemic that everyone heard about. It's been around for a while, but when it was really in the press, 2017, 18, 19, a little even before that, and also particularly since COVID, really has opened the doors to legislators and governors on the need for portability legislation. And now, instead of raising the wall higher, they're knocking the walls down so that you can allow people from other states who have a similar license or an identical license to come into the state and practice. In some states, the governors in those states have led the initiative to pass pro-portability laws. Arizona is an example. In 2018, they passed portability model that applied to most healthcare providers, and it was something that came from on top, from the governor, the legislature, and to all the licensure boards. Other states, similar laws have passed. So I think that really the legislators, instead of being a barrier to portability, are actually in some ways pushing or encouraging state licensure boards and other state actors to move forward with portability.
Yes, yeah, state licensure boards, their job, as you were alluding to, is to protect the public. The AAMFT, their job not only represent just our members, the interest of all marriage and family therapists in the United States and beyond. So what has AMFT done to address these barriers and constraints that we've been talking about over the last couple of years? Because what is launching now, it just doesn't happen overnight. You guys have been advocating and working behind the scenes on portability for a while now. What has that looked like?
Yeah, it really has. Something that AMFT has historically been working on for many years as one of our major advocacy initiative items. I think in the past, if you go back to when I started working in state advocacy in 2005 and after, it was one of many issues, but I think we had more of a concentration then on trying to improve the scope of practice of marriage and family therapists at the state level, get MFTs as Medicaid providers, to get MFTs as providers, recognized providers, network providers in healthcare plans such as Blue Cross plans. Because 10, 15 years ago, there were several states that did not, where the Blue Cross and health plans did not recognize MFTs as providers. And many Medicaid plans used to not recognize MFTs. Those were the main goals, or took a lot of time. Fortunately, due to advocacy efforts and other efforts, those goals have been significantly reduced, and really where today almost all insurance plans recognize MFTs. It doesn't mean that MFTs are always happy with the policies or the reimbursement rate or other things with the plans, but they are in the plans themselves as providers. So I think one way is that portability is more prominent because of some of the other issues have been largely resolved, or at least MFTs are in these programs. So that has raised it. What we have done more particularly in recent years is back in 2020, 2021, during COVID, we decided, AMFT decided to work on a portability initiative and the study of portability. In late 2021, there was an AMFT launched a membership survey on portability issues, where we found that there was a large degree of support for very pro-portability language I described. In other words, getting licensed in one state, to get licensed in another state easily, especially among younger members, or maybe members who are new career, early career members and associates, to ease portability laws in the state so they can be able to practice in multiple states. And probably ones who are early career are most likely to be mobile as well and wanting to maybe expand or have a practice in other states. So it makes sense that they would be even more in favor of that than other MFTs perhaps would. Also, as part of that, MFT launched some education or campaigns to membership to explain more on portability. There was an article that appeared in Family Therapy Magazine in the summer of 2022 on portability. The article even defined what portability is and what some of the terms you hear like compacts and endorsement in that article. Explain some of the options that AMFT has on portability. AMFT conducted a workforce study in 2022, and the results of that showed a very active interest in portability and a need for that, and a lot of people who want to practice in other states, and also several who do have licenses in other states currently, showing the need for that, and it sets up what happened after that period of time, the decision made to go forward.
Yeah, we had Chris Michaels, CEO of AAMFT, to talk about that workforce study and how important the pandemic was in shaping that. And you're telling us how important, with the rise of telehealth, how important the pandemic was in leading to what was to become the strategic portability plan of the AAMFT. So what were the goals of that, Roger?
Yeah, thank you. After over a year of review, which I mentioned a minute ago here, during the fall, during the AMFT Board of Directors fall 2022 meeting, the Board of Directors voted to move forward with a strategic portability effort that would identify barriers to licensure portability and working to create a much easier process to be able to become licensed in other states. And that model is in for that, in 2023, AMFT staff finalized this plans, mobilized leaders, identified states to focus in on for 2024's legislative session, mobilized leadership in those states, identified lobbyists in those states who could help work on the portability initiative, also prepared staff for this and prepared fact sheets and other information. And also during that time, and it was actually in 2022 as well as part of the strategic portability plan, the AMFT had adopted as the model portability law. AMFT had one from many years ago that was the substantially equivalent model, but was really we found to be unworkable or not a good model to move forward in today's age, but adopted a new model. And essentially, the model states that if you've been licensed in one state as an LMFT at the full licensure level, again, the portability plan we're talking about through our Access MFTs initiative just is for those who have the full independent license. If you have a full independent LMFT license in one state, then you can be licensed in the second state that's passing these laws without having to prove substantially equivalent or years of experience. Now, again, with our AMFT portability model, a state can ban people or not license people from other states if they have ethics violations in that state or they have current investigations in that state. And also, the state can require them to pass state-specific jurisprudence exams. So many states have a jurisprudence exam, which if you're not familiar, those in the audience are not familiar with it. It is an exam that really tests the law legal requirements in a state and the ethics requirements in a state, and you would still be required, or the state can require you to still pass and take those exams before becoming licensed in that state. And also, you would still have to have meet other requirements. You still have to pay the fee to be licensed, the same fee as the in-state licensees would pay. You would still have to take continuing education. You still have to have a fingerprinting if that's what's the requirements are in that state. So there still are requirements, and essentially, you would be licensed and treated as though you were living in that state, because you would get a genuine license. You would have an LMFT license in another state, even though you don't live there or you just move there.
So I think the devil is in the details, so to speak. So you mentioned some things like fees. So I'm still, if I'm thinking about this and I'm a listener out there and you use me for an example, I have lived in Kentucky the last 16 years, but at some point in that 16 years, I've been licensed in Illinois and Indiana. And if I was to keep those, I would have to keep my paperwork in all three states. I would have to keep up in the different CEU requirements. I'd have to pay the full fee. And some of that would still be the same if I'm hearing you right. I would still have to pay the fee in each state where portability is a viable option. I would still have to keep up with the CEUs. So how does it save me time? Because I think it's attractive to our, especially in the age of telehealth, to our listeners to have a wider net to cast their services. But with the wider net, you still have to keep up with these very important requirements in each state, and you have to pay the fees, which is you're going to be licensed in multiple states, can add up. So where does it really save me the most time, Roger?
Yeah, thank you. I think where the savings of time might occur is really on the front end. If you have a state that requires that you need to be under supervision for a period of time, or you have to have substantially similar experience and you need to go and meet that, or you have to wait, you go and move into a state and you have to serve as an associate for some reason because you only had 1 year of licensure and then it requires 2 or 3 years, or you have to take another class. We've had MFTs contact us. They've tried to move to another state and they require you need to take a class in diagnosing in order to be licensed. Or sometimes they'll say we'll become licensed as a licensed professional counselor in our state instead, even though that's not the profession they're from. Those are costs that are added on, costs in time, costs in lost opportunities, costs in not being able to see clients and receive income in that particular state. And we've had MFTs who've had to sit out, literally leave the profession to meet certain requirements until they're able to get that classwork or that particular requirement in order to become licensed in the state. Also, I think over time, one thing we certainly would encourage is states to harmonize their requirements more. And we've seen more where the requirements to become licensed are all online, the applications are. It makes it a little easier. On continuing education requirements, they're typically are within a similar range on the number of hours that they need. Sometimes it's calculated annually, sometimes every 2 years, sometimes now every 3 years is becoming more common. And to maybe think of that and think of not having too many dissimilar requirements, and I think you're seeing a little more harmony among them. But there again will be some costs in doing that in terms of becoming licensed in multiple states, and it is something to track, but it also has been something that MFTs have had to track for a long time and will continue. And I think other healthcare professions always, when they're practicing in a state, whether it's through a portability model or through a compact or anything, need to be very well aware of the laws in that state and the requirements in the state they're practicing in, so that they don't end up in an ethical dilemma or some legal challenge because they're not aware of the laws in the state they're calling into or they've moved to. So there needs to be some awareness of that.
You mentioned this idea of interstate licensure compacts several times now, and they fit under the broad umbrella of portability. Can you say a little more about those?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, interstate compacts is something that has been around for a long time. And essentially, that is an agreement by two or more states to accomplish a certain goal. Two states or more will have a compact to take care of a certain common problem. They've traditionally been common in some other areas, examples of them, particularly regarding, let's say, the use of the Great Lakes. There's a compact of all the states surrounding the Great Lakes, or maybe a compact of states that border a particular river or that are involved in some transportation-related thing like that. So compacts have been around the non-healthcare arena for a very long time. Healthcare compacts started going about 10 or 15 years ago. Nursing has a large, the largest compact. Currently, psychology has a telehealth-only compact. Counseling has a compact, and social work has started working on one a little over a year ago. Compacts are run by or overseen by an association called the Council on State Governments. And they have a particular department called the National Center for Interstate Compacts that helps establish compacts. And essentially, the compact process involves development of a compact language by professions, and then they have to introduce it at the state level, and that takes a couple of years to develop. It's introduced. They have to have about 7 or 10 states to pass it. They have to develop regulations, and you have to form a compact commission. And that commission is a representative from each state that passes the compact. And then the compact goes into effect. And if a licensee joins the compact, and you have to again live in a state that joins the compact, and then you will pay the fee, and then you can practice in various states, although in some of the compacts, you have to pay a fee per state. So there are some, maybe compacts may have ease on some of the paperwork burden as opposed to getting a full license in the state. But again, you still have to pay usually a fee per state and also have to be very cognizant of the laws in those states because you would still be held to standards if you provided therapy to a client in a state that you have your practice in through a compact and you do something in violation of state law, you could still be held liable by the licensure board in that state. Whether it's a compact or portability through licensure, you still have to know the laws in the state you're going from. And so compacts are a model that's been used by several states. There are, again, some disadvantages on compacts. The biggest one are for overall is cost. The compact commission bodies in each licensed profession has to be maintained by fees, and what AMFT has looked at and studying these compacts as these compact commissions lose money every year, even the most successful ones. And that money has to be made out through, generally through associations. In other words, if there's an MFT compact, AMFT members through your dues would have to, AMFT would have to backfill, if you will, any deficit by these commissions. And so having a compact also is better, probably works well for very large professions like nursing, which have 600,000 or 800,000 licensees. The MFT profession has somewhere between 70,000 and 80,000 LMFTs total. So it's one of the smaller professions when you compare to social work and counseling and psychology. It's a little larger, and especially nursing. So you get into some cost concerns for smaller professions. The other thing to note, and many people don't know this, is that compacts have not been adopted by every state so far. There are some states like Georgia and Tennessee that have adopted 7 or 8 healthcare compacts. There are some on the opposite end who developed no compacts, and in particular, California and New York. And for those, again, I think many MFTs listening to the podcast are familiar that California has a large number of MFTs. Over half of all LMFTs are in the state of California. California has adopted no healthcare compacts. So if, and they're not, from what we've heard, not likely to adopt any soon in the near term. If they don't sign on to any hypothetical MFT compact, that significantly reduces having a healthcare compact for MFTs in terms of the cost would be very expensive. So again, there's some reasons why that AMFT had decided to go through the Access MFTs Pro Portability Initiative, like I described earlier, than maybe compacts, which again, can work very well for some professions.
All this is very helpful. So if I'm just listening to this and I don't know what my state is doing or these other potential states that is now possible to market my services and establish a client base in, where do our listeners go to find out more information about MFT licensure portability, Roger?
Yeah, thank you. Probably the best place to go, I would say, would be AMFT's website for the Access MFTs campaign. And probably the best way is to Google or use any search engine, Access MFTs. It'll pull up as the first page. And the Access MFTs initiative is not just an AMFT thing. There are many groups that are supporting the Access MFTs initiative. MFTs created the web page, and that is the initiative that we're using for the MFT profession to pass these pro portability laws. We have on the web page a list of AMFT's partners, including CAMF, the California Association of Marriage and Family Therapists, the Virginia Association of Marriage and Family Therapy, the Metro Marriage and Family Marriage and Family Therapists from Maryland. Several of AMFT's own networks are a part of that, independent affiliates, such as the Georgia Association for Marriage and Family Therapy. And we have letters of support from several other organizations on that website. That would be the go-to place to look for information. It has more on the strategic portability model, what the model language looks like, and really a couple of things of interest. One, we do have news articles that detail our advocacy victories, AMFT's advocacy victories this year. And secondly, there is a very helpful state map that shows the states that have passed pro portability changes this year that are still in progress, and also some other states that have passed portability laws in the past.
And how many states, Roger, have made gains in portability?
The first year of the Access MFTs initiative was this year. There were 10 states that we focused in on. Of those states, there were bills introduced in 9 of 10. I'll talk about the 10th in a second here. But 9 states, MFT and its allies who are in the coalition here, introduced bills that would state that if you're licensed in one state as an MFT, you can become licensed in our state. And these were signed into law in 6 states. And the states are Arizona, Georgia, Iowa, Maryland, Tennessee, and Virginia. And these were passed, and I'd like to thank again the advocates in those states who fought hard to make it happen, and our lobbying teams in those states. And all the states, they passed. Arizona has a 1-year requirement to come in. All the others, you don't have a yearly requirement at all. In addition, there are 2 other states, Illinois and North Carolina, where pro portability laws are still going forward. In fact, in Illinois, the law is going to the governor for the governor's signature. The only state that did not pass this year was Kentucky, which we're planning to continue efforts there. And the 10th state I mentioned is California. And in California, the plan there is not to improve the portability law. They do have a pro-portability law that passed a few years ago that's now 2 years. It's a substantial improvement on what it was. But there, as many of you who are listening know, California, All 49 of 50 states require that in order to become licensed, you must pass an exam known as the Association of Marriage and Family Therapy Regulatory Board's National Clinical Exam, or the AMFTRB National Exam. California has their own exam that's just unique to California. That has been a portability barrier because California MFTs who take the California exam will go to other states, and that state says you have to take the AMFTRB national exam. And that can become a significant barrier, especially if you've been out of school for many years. I don't know.
This is a barrier for a lot of people that have been out of school. This, you're saying now, our listeners in California do not have to take the national exam as long as they are cleared in California.
You know, a couple of things on that, and that's a great segue in, is that, first of all, our portability models do not require having to pass the AMFTRB exam. In other words, if you've been licensed, you can get licensed in their state. They've already passed a clinical exam. Under our model, a California MFT who, let's say, we'll use Georgia as an example, Georgia's passed the portability law. Once that goes into effect later this year, that California MFT can get licensed in Georgia without taking the AMFTRB national exam. Because under current law, before we pass this bill, a California MFT moving to Georgia has to take the AMFTRB national exam. And again, there's been no evidence that the California MFT is going to harm the public because they haven't had the AMFTRB national exam. They already took a clinical exam in California. It's similar. The initiative in California we're working on is to actually make California the 50th state to adopt the MFTRB national exam. And we're happy to report that in May of this year, the California Board of Behavioral Sciences voted to move forward with adopting the MFTRB national exam. Again, that's going to take another 2 or 3 years or so to implement because you have to change the laws in that state. But that was the part of our portability initiative because making one exam for all 50 states will ease portability of the MFT license across all states and eliminate a barrier for California MFTs.
Now, I believe it's also been a great year for AMFT and the advocacy front in other areas. Before we let you go, let our listeners know what AMFT has been able to do in other domains in advocacy.
Yeah, thank you very much. The work still goes on advocacy at the federal level. In December of 2022, Congress passed a law signed by President Biden that allows LMFTs, as well as counselors, to become Medicare providers, which was a significant advocacy victory. It was the most important initiative the AMFT had worked on for over 30 years, and so that passed, and AMFTs are now eligible to be Medicare providers effective January of this year. We've had thousands of MFTs have already enrolled as Medicare providers, and AMFT is part of a coalition, the Medicare Mental Health Workforce Coalition, that fights and continues to advocate for this, and that coalition, AMFT, continues to meet with Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and enforces Medicare laws and regulations to meet with them and provide information and comments. We've also recently dealt with some challenges in a few states in terms of getting MFTs enrolled as Medicare providers through the contractors that enroll providers in the states. And we'll be commenting this month in July there or in terms of some new rules that will be developed for the 2025 that would impact MFTs and other Medicare eligible providers. So the advocacy continues at the federal level and at the state level and on many other issues at the federal level as well. At the state level, there's some other issues working at the state level where they have a scope of practice issue in one state we're working on. We have a couple of states where there's some lack of full Medicaid recognition, so that we're fighting to make sure MFTs are fully Medicaid providers in those states. We also have some states that do not license, as many states license associate MFTs. So you can become a licensed associate marriage and family therapist. Some states do not license that or consider an intern designation. So AMFT is pursuing an initiative to make that an intern, to make that an associate license. And there are many other advocacy agendas. Portability is probably the one that really is the most in the most states right now on that. And again, for 2024, I displayed the victories there. 6 out of 9 states, hopefully as many as 8 out of 9 states passing portability initiative, which is very good to pass a law in 8 of 9 states. We're looking right now and have been meeting with states for phase 2, which is next year. AMFT plans to introduce legislation in 9 or 10 states. Our pro-portability model, the Access MFT's portability model in those states, and the push forward with them, and we should have some announcements probably later in the summer or fall, more on what those states are, and a little bit more information for AMFT members on what we'll be doing in 2025 in those states.
Roger, I can't thank you enough for your time today and the work you have done in your various roles throughout the last 19 years at AMFT. On our show, when we tackled clinical topics and we talked to these movers and shakers in the field of systemic therapy. But today, what you've been able to do with your team in the last couple of years with portability is going to ensure the health and livelihood of the profession for years to come and give all of our practitioners out there a chance to do what they love to do in a potentially larger area and reach a larger audience. So I can't thank you enough for what you do for the organization and for being part of the podcast today.
Are you looking for a new resource to help clients navigate through familial relationships and trauma? The godmother of Genograms, Monica McGoldrick, and family therapist Tracy Laslofi are back with a new update on the classic Genograms book, you can go home again. Readers are guided into constructing a genogram, a basic family tree, which helps understand any complex family dynamic. This new edition of You Can Go Home Again also focuses on intergenerational trauma, the consequences of keeping and uncovering family secrets via DNA testing, and so much more. Use code HOME, that's H-O-M-E, at www.norton.com/homeagain, www.norton.com/homeagain, for 20% off and free shipping on this book, You Can Go Home Again. This is valid through September 1st for U.S.-based customers. Eli, back with you, bringing to a close another informative installment, the AAMFT podcast. Roger gave us a lot of information. We were talking at the end, something that is very important that goes along with advocacy that we have mentioned in the past on the show is the MFTs and Medicare bills. AAMFT achieved its primary federal advocacy goal of passing legislation into law that recognizes MFTs as Medicare eligible. That was a big and long-term campaign. And under this change to Medicare, both MFTs and MHCs, mental health counselors, are finally able to provide services to Medicare beneficiaries and receive reimbursement. That took place January 1st of this year. Roger was stressing to me, it is important to go to aamft.org/Medicare. There you can find webinars, everything about enrolling, and tons of FAQs, but it's really important as we advocate for our profession. And I can't stress enough how important it is to go and opt in. Also, AAMFT is really working on advocacy. And if you listen to this, you can always be part of the family team. The family team is AAMFT's network of advocates who are interested in MFT advocacy and are willing to volunteer some time to advocate for important MFT goals like we spoke about today, portability. Be a part of that. Go to family team today, aamft.org. You can also email familyteam@aamft.org if you have any other questions. You know, we hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast and all of our episodes over the last six seasons. And if you did, we'd greatly appreciate you take a few moments out of your busy day, leave us a review wherever you find your favorite podcast. I'm partial to Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And please share this episode with others who you think might be interested in what is going on with portability and advocacy for our great profession. Feel free to let us know what topics you'd like to see covered in future episodes. I rely on you, the listener, for feedback. And get in touch with me, elikaram.com. That's E-L-I-K-A-R-A-M.com. Did you know that AAMFT is also active on your favorite social media channel? So be sure to follow us at the AAMFT on Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Till next time, my friends, stay safe. Stay systemic.